Report, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God, once again, it's always an honor and always a privilege to assemble together with you all under the sound of my voice and to go before the throne of God's grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So it's an honor and it's a privilege, you know, that as we always say, that God has pointed unto us the golden scepter of righteousness, signifying that we can come boldly into his presence without any sense of guilt or condemnation. You know, that's what righteousness is, the ability to go before God without any sense of guilt or condemnation, knowing that you have been put back in right standings with God, you know, washed white as snow, you know, restored back to your original place in God that he created you to be in. You know, all that's been restored back to us, you know, and it's an honor that he would summons us into his very presence so that we can know those things. That's the whole purpose for it, you know, is so that we can know those things. He said, this is life eternal, that you might know you, the only true and wise God, and Jesus Christ who you sent. You know, and they that believe it in that, in Jesus and who you sent, would not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, this is life, that we might know him. And the only way to know him, you got to have a personal relationship with him. Thank God for the corporate relationship that we have, you know, through our church service and our gathering of ourselves together, you know. But, you know, there's a greater thing than that, you know, the gathering of ourselves together, and that's that personal relationship between you and God, between me and God, between us and God, that one-on-one. But just like Jesus did, you know the Bible says a great while before a day, Jesus would get up and he would go and he would pray, and he would spend, you know, 3-4 hours or maybe even longer at the time, and he would be in fellowship with the Father and God, you know. And then when he would come out of fellowship with the Father God, he would go and fellowship with the people and manifest the will of God in the people's life. That's why he was opening blind eyes, stopping deaf ears, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the dumb to talk, casting out devils, ruling and reigning over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that confronted his life, man, while he was upon this earth. And he did all those things as a result of his personal relationship that he had with his Father in heaven. That's why, you know, all the things the disciples could ask Jesus to teach them, you know, they could ask, you know, teach us how to cast out devils, teach us how to open blind eyes, teach us how to walk on water, teach us how to raise people to do. The only thing I've seen in the Bible where they asked Jesus to teach them, man, was in Luke 11. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Like John taught his disciples. You teach us how to pray like you pray. I mean, we noticed something. We noticed that man, after you come out of that fellowship with God, after you come out of your prayer life, then you will go and amongst the people, you will cast out devils and open their eyes and unstamp at the end and do great and mighty things and proclaim messages, man, that were profound to the people, you know. And we come to the realization that we contribute all that you're doing as a result of what you do a great while before day, doing fellowship with the Father. You go and spend an hour with the Father, then come back in and spend 3-4 seconds, man, casting out a devil or healing the sick, you know. And he attributed that to that personal relationship that he had with his Father in heaven, you know. That's what I said, because that's where the power comes from. That's where the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding comes from. That's where the growth comes from. That's where the transformation comes from. That's where the change comes from. That's where we're coming to the place where we can be able to walk in the reality of what it means to be son and daughter of the Most High God. It comes from that place. The Bible calls it the secret place of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Adam called it the Garden of Eden. Noah called it the Ark of Safety. Abraham called it the Promised Land. Moses and all the children here called it the Presence of the Lord. David called it the secret place of the Most High God. Jesus Christ called it, boy, the Kingdom of God. What did all the boy, all the way back to that which was not in the beginning, or just in the beginning, but that which was from the beginning. That's what's said in 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning. We have seen, I have seen our hands have handled, and touched it. And what is that, boy? The word of life. What is that, boy? I'm talking about, boy, what is the word of life? That's the word of the Most High God. And when God talking to you and you're talking to him. Not only are you talking to him, but he's talking to you. That's a conversation between you and him. That's a fellowship between you and him. That's the most important thing of all. Everything that God doing is a means to that end. So that he can commune with us. So he can fellowship with us. So he can walk and talk with us, man, all the days of our lives, man, 24/7. We become conscious and aware that wheresoever we go, that our Father that live on the inside of us, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, that's an indication that man, I'm talking about God is with you 24/7, all the days of your life, forever and ever and ever. And he ain't gonna never leave you, and he ain't gonna never forsake you. And boy, we come to the consciousness of death, and more aware of the consciousness of death, that boy, God is with us, and man, we can face every adversity, every circumstance, every situation, every symptom, eyeball, every devil, every demon, eyeball. And let him know that greater is he that's in us, hallelujah, than he that's in his word. I mean, man, we can be victorious in every area of our life. Why? Because the greater one is on the inside of us. Ooh, the Most High God. Jesus Christ, the word of the Most High God. And the Holy Spirit. The ability and the power and the life of the Most High God. Imagine that, boy, residing on the inside of us. You know what that indicates? It indicates that the same thing, the same attributes, the same character, the same nature, the same ingredient that's in the Father is on the inside of all of us. Lord, praise God, so that we can be just like the Father. So how come all of us? That's how he created us in the beginning, that we were from the beginning. Then we just see, when I say, we say it all the time, boy, he created us in his image and his likeness, like him. He let us, who, under the Son and the Holy Spirit, make him just like us. So in character and nature and in likeness and in ability and in the function and potential, well, we got to be just like man, the Father, we just like the Son, and we just like the Holy Spirit. The devil don't ever want you to know that. He don't ever want you to come to the knowledge of that. you can come to the Lord today, like I told you, you got to come through the gates of thanksgiving for all that God has done for us, the gift of salvation, the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of the Lord, thanking Him for all that, giving Him praise and glory and the course, and then coming on into the assembling of ourselves together, the holy place, man. But then don't just stop there, go all the way behind the veil into the literal presence of the Most High God. That way, when we assemble ourselves together, then we won't just only hear what the men and women of God say to us, but we'll be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord, what the Most High God, what the Lord say to us Himself through the men and women of God that He speak to us through. That's the most important thing. Now, don't you just hear what the man or woman of God say about what God say, but that you hear what God say to you about what the woman or man of God is saying to you. What's that? That's an indication that you're in the presence of the Most High God then. That way you can hear man from God. That way your faith won't just be in the wisdom of a man, but in the power of God, because you'll hear God for yourself. And boy, that's what you want. That's the most important relationship. But your prayer life, that's your fellowship with the Most High God. That's your commune with Him. That's your communion with Him. That's your communion. So I'm not talking about, man, you know, eating a crack and drinking a little wine. That's all good and dandy. That's a type and a shadow. But what that indicates, what that's a type and shadow of is you, man, you know, coming, man, eating from the king's table and drinking from the king's table. While you eating, man, the body of Jesus Christ and drinking His blood. I mean, man, eating His flesh and drinking His blood. I ain't talking about physical and natural. I'm talking about, boy, spiritual. Eating His word, man, and drinking His word. Or taking up His word. His word becoming one with you. That's the communion, man, that God wants more than the cracker and the wine. He want a man to talk with you. He want to touch you up and eat with you. He want to eat from the king's table with you. What's the food, boy? The word of God. Hallelujah. What cleanses up, man, you know, to be able to come all that way? The blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless blood of Jesus Christ. He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you can't come there. If you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life, man, and you are communing with Him, and you are a disciple of His word, if you're in His word, you know, then, man, you know, that's the true communion when you fellowship with Him. But as a result of a lack of knowledge, then that's why we some die, some are sick, and some even die among us. Why? Because we discern the Lord's body, man, you know, without understanding, without man knowing what's really going on. See, there are two kinds of knowledge. There's sense knowledge that we derive from our five sense reasonings, primarily through our schools and our colleges and our universities, derived from our five sense reasons, where we can see, hear, taste, touch, smell, feel, you know. That's our five sense reasonings. You know, that's where we get our knowledge from, you know. But then there's another knowledge. It's called revelation knowledge. You know, and our five sense knowledge, man, is limited. We can't find God. We can't find how the mind works in the brain of a human being. It's limited. You can't find God. You can't find your true origin and who you truly are and where you truly come from. Sense knowledge, man, can't ride that all. We can come up with his theories. There's another knowledge called revelation knowledge that's revealed to us born through the word of God. That's Jesus, by the power and the hushing of the Holy Spirit, that enable us, man, to find, to know God, and to know the word of God, to know Jesus Christ, the revelation of this spiritual knowledge. There's sense knowledge and then there's spiritual knowledge. Sense knowledge, like I say, comes from the five sense reasons. Spiritual knowledge comes from the revelation of the word of God. the revelation of the Word of God. Not the sense knowledge of the Word of God, but the revelation knowledge of the Word of God. What you mean revelation knowledge? What do you mean, man, in the spirit? When Jesus told him, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have no life. And see, they are coming here with sense knowledge reason. How can man, this man tell us to eat his flesh and drink his blood? We're not cannibals. See, that's sense knowledge. Jesus had to get coming and say to his disciples, because a lot of them, man, they didn't walk no more with him. Why? Because they couldn't understand, man, you know, what he was really saying. And in some cases, man, you know, it didn't make no sense to them. And Jesus had to say, you go away too? And Peter said, no, Lord, you got the word of life. Jesus said, listen, man, you know, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. What? The words that I speak, they are spirit. What you mean, Arthur? They are spirit. They come from a spirit. The Most High God is a spirit. The Word of God is spirit. And is addressed to a spirit. Who? The spirit of man. Hallelujah. And the only way that can be revealed to the spirit of man is through revelation knowledge, man, by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus said that he will bring you in remembrance of everything that I told you. He will not speak of himself. But he will bring you the revelation to what I say. He will bring you spiritual understanding and spiritual knowledge. In fact, Paul prayed, say, I pray that we be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Not just, you know, sense knowledge understanding, but spiritual understanding. And sad to say, man, you know, through man prayers and all theology that we have today, most of man, you know, the revelation that we have of God is sense knowledge revelation. That's why, man, you know, we don't think and believe, man, that as he is, so are we. We don't think like Jesus thought. When the Bible said, let this man mind that was in Christ be also in you. What mind was that? He didn't think it robbery to be equal with God. What you mean by that? He said he didn't think it robbery that the same essence, that the same character, that the same nature, that the same ability, that all the same ingredients that God consists of was on the inside of him. That he was just like his father. That he could be just like his father, talk just like his father, live just like his father, walk just like his father, be just like his father. Why? Because he is just like his father. All the same thing of it. And listen at this. The good news, the gospel, what he came to preach to us, that as he is, so are we. But we living and thinking and dying like mere men and mere women, man. Well, we don't think like God think and the thoughts that God think about us. He said, I know the thoughts that I thought think towards you, said the Lord. My thoughts towards you are righteousness thoughts, holy thoughts. My thoughts towards you is, man, it's, you are, that's why the Bible says, your eyes ain't seen, your ears ain't heard, nor has it entered into our heart, boy, who we really are in Christ Jesus. Where we really come from. Why we really here. What we really can do. Where we really going to end up in. Well, that's mankind's age-old questions. From generation to generation to generation to generation. What is that, boy? Identity. With that, who are we? It's identity. Next age of question is where we come from. With that, it's our source. We really don't know who we are. We think we just be a man and be a man. Who is identity, man? We the sons and daughters of the Most High God. You don't go around, man, seeing yourself and considering yourself first and foremost, boy, as a child of the Most High God. You know what that means? It's an offspring of God. I mean, that's who you are. You are a spirit being, just like God. To have a soul, it's a mind, a will, emotion, an attitude, and you live in a physical body. The physical body is just not us. That's the vessel that God provided, man, from the dust of the ground, from the earth, man, for us to live in, so that we can have dominion over this earth. He placed us in an earthen vessel. What human is. It comes from two words, humus. What's that? What's human? Humus is It is glory to God. It's earthy. Wasn't made a spirit. So what's the human? It's a spirit man in a earthy vessel, in a physical body. What's humans? That's the body. What's man? That's the spirit. What human man is, that's a spirit living in a earthen vessel, a body that has a mind, a will, emotions, attitudes, feelings. Hallelujah. But the real human, the true human boy, is a spirit being. Or when God told Adam and Eve, man, if you eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to surely die. The death that he was talking about then was that spiritual death, separation from the source. What's the source? Boy, you come from God. Who are we? The children of the Most High God. We all spring from God. If we spring off from God, that means we come from God. Where is God? Our Father, which are where? In Him. So who are we? The sons of the Most High God, we spirit beings, offsprings of God. That's our identity. What's our source? Where we come from? We come from God. We come from Him. Man, God ain't trying to get us to heaven, man. If He walked out, He'd have left us up there in the beginning. Man, God bought us. He created us just like Him, spirit beings. Then He came down to the earth and brought us down to the earth and formed a body from the earth for us to live in, and then released our body, our that spirit, into those bodies. Into that body that He formed for us, Adam. Because He got an assignment for Him, a purpose for Him. Right? Hey, man, you know, I created you in my image, in my likeness, and I'm a king. I created you a king, too. You don't think in those terms. You don't even behave in those terms. You don't think in those terms. In our time, boy, we are kings and priests. What do you mean? That's rulers and spiritual representatives. Well, a king is a ruler. It don't matter whether you're in a female body or a male body, you're still a ruler. Female body called it queen. If you're in a male body, call it king. But the bottom line is, where they are is rulers. What they rule over? They rule over their domain, over their territory. What's a priest? That's a spiritual representative. What do you do? He represents man, God to the people, and then he goes to God on behalf of the people. He represents God to the people and the people to God. That's a spiritual representative. We, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, man, that we are kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. But you don't think in those terms. We don't try to live and walk in those terms. Why? Because, man, you know, the way you come to now, that's Revelation knowledge. You get that knowledge, man, for going in behind the veil. To the presence of the Most High God. Well, to the University of Silence. Not university about the art schools and everything else. I went there and all that. That was all good. They got this person in there. But boy, that's talking about another university. The University of Silence, where the Holy Spirit is the teacher and instructor. Well, you go, boy, and learn, man, from Him. Hallelujah. Well, you taught me by Him. What is that? That's revelation knowledge that enables us, boy. I'm talking about, boy, to begin to acquire that knowledge, and then after acquiring that knowledge, man, apply that knowledge to our lives, and then after applying that knowledge to our lives, thereby, man, beginning to walk in the reality of what it means to be children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. We're all walking the reality of it. I'm talking about walking in the reality of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Walking in the reality of all that Jesus Christ, man, paid the price for us to have. Walking in the reality of the power and the ability and the life that's on the inside of us. Walking in the reality and what it means to be a son of the Most High God, just like Jesus was doing on the face of this earth, when He was walking the face of this earth. He was ruling and reigning. Ain't no circumstance, situation, or symptom dictated to Him. He dictated to them. He dictates every circumstance, situation, and symptom. Hallelujah. And boy, and when he came to this earth, he did what he did over 2,000 years ago. Boy, everything who we truly are, our true identity, our true source, our true potential, that's what purpose is. Not only where we come from, man, and who we are and where we come from, but why we here. That's potential. That's purpose. And listen, wherever purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. If you don't know why you're here, you can miss it to you, sir, or why you're here. What do you say? You'll be just like the Bible say, boy, and so on. We living and dying like mere men and mere women. And all the time, man, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, man, with a purpose, with a God-given purpose and destiny for our lives. But that is, boy, that's not only knowing, man, who you are, the son of the Most High God, not only knowing where you're from, your source, you're from your father, you're from heaven. Your original citizenship is in heaven. And not only knowing who you are and where you're from, but knowing, man, why you're here. That's purpose. That's knowing your purpose. Why are you here? You're not just here, man, to make a living, go to work day, man, then after that, man, let's make a living and die. I hope that you make it to heaven. That ain't why you're here. You're here, man, to establish God's governing influence of his territory in our territory, the earth. That's why, God, that's why you're here, to impact our territory with the governing influence of our Most High God, our Creator. What? So that it might be in our territory just like it is in his territory. We ain't here to have church in our list. That's just a means to an end. The only purpose of having church is so that we can grow in the knowledge of God and in his will, and for those fivefold ministry, the gift that he laid us, be able to lead us behind the veil all the way into the presence of the Most High God, where we can all hear from God, so that we can grow thereby, wanting nothing. Why, knowing that it's the Lord of your shepherd, man, you don't have to want for nothing, man. Every need is supplied. Everything taken care of. It's the Lord, and he is. The Lord is our shepherd. It's the Lord our shepherd. Man, he's going to feed us. He's going to water us. He's going to protect us. He's going to take care of us. Just like a good shepherd, man, take care of his sheep. He lead them beside the still water into the green pastures. Even though they walk through the valley of the shadow and death, they don't even feel no evil. Even though it bears and lions and everything else, they ain't worried about nothing, man. Why? Because, boy, they got a shepherd in the valley. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And he couldn't run it though. Because you got, I'm talking about the Lord, our shepherd. The Lord, our shepherd, man. If the Lord, our shepherd, man, let me, I'll say it again, boy, and he is. If the Lord, our shepherd, boy, I'm just, if we as his sheep, man, you ain't got to, you can, boy, you can rest in peace and joy and everything else. You ain't got to worry about a thing. But you got to know that the Lord is your shepherd. You got, I ain't talking about just, man, no sense knowledge of it. I'm talking about revelation knowledge of it. You got to know that you know that you know that you know. How you get to that place where you know like that, Arthur? You got to spend time with him. That's why I say you got to come on behind the veil into his presence. And that's what he wants more than anything. That's why he washed you white as snow. That's why Jesus Christ's blood cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Why? So that we could be declared righteous and holy and with our sin covered in his love. That's what Ephesians chapter 1 is all about. Thanks be unto God who has blessed us, watch this, with all spiritual blessings. Where are they? In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, who chose us, man, before the foundation of the world. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. You got to read this Bible for yourself. What he did, he chose us before the foundation of the world. What he chose, that we should be holy, just like him, and without blame, covered in his love. I'm telling my man, though you Adam messed up and causes all of us to be born in sin and shaped in iniquity and stained, man, by sin, guilt and everything else, boy, I'm talking about, boy, in spite of all of that, boy, covered in his love. The Bible says his love covers a multitude of sins. That means what's a multitude of all your sins? The love of God that covers all your faults and all your mistakes. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what people say about it. Some people say, man, you know, you got to preach, you don't preach, man, about sin. Some people just preach goodness and everything else and don't preach about sin. Man, let me tell you something. When you preach the grace of God, you automatically, man, preaching against sin. Right. Because, boy, when the people find out about the grace of God, the love of God, man, and all the love that God has for us, man, you ain't going to want to sin. You're going to want to love God. You're going to want to fellowship with him. You're going to want to commune with him. You want to go grow in his grace. You ain't going to want to sin, man. You're going to want to please him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And if you please him and love him, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments. You will walk on out of sin into, boy, righteousness and holy living. You will walk on out of darkness, boy, into the marvelous light, man. What's the marvelous out of darkness? That's sin and shame and guilt and condemnation. What's the light? Into righteousness and peace and joy and holy living. Hallelujah. You know, I'm preaching against sin by man letting you know that you are holy already. Glory to God. As you come to the knowledge of that, man, hey, boy, you start living holy. You start living righteous. You start living, man, with peace. You start living with joy. You start living with power and authority and dominion and might. You start taking authority over your circumstance, situation, and symptom in your life. You, and instead of circumstance, situation, and symptom dictating to us, we'll begin to dictate to the circumstance, situation, and symptom, just like Jesus did. He brought the sick to him, man. He didn't let the sickness dictate to him. He dictated to it. He went to the dead. The death didn't dictate to him. He dictated to it. He raised the dead. They brought those who were oppressed of the devil and everything else. He set the captives free. All those who were blind to the truths of what really going on, not just physical blindness and physical deafness and physical lameness, but those who were spiritually blind, man, and spiritually deaf and spiritually lame, man. He kind of opened up that grace, the spiritual blind eyes. He manifested something in the physical realm, but that was just, man, you know, that was what the miracle was for the unbelievers, really. Well, that was his advertising strategy, man, to get them boys to come get what he had for them. Listen, if you got a product that you want, man, the consumer to get, and you advertise that product, boy, you advertise that product and you tell men the goodness of that product and how that product, man, can benefit them and bless them and be of good use to them, man. You don't advertise yourself. You know, you don't advertise the manufacturer. You advertise the product. Hallelujah. And as you advertise the product, boy, then at the end of the commercial, then you tell them, man, you know, boy, who the manufacturer is and where to get it in. See, we're not careful, boy. The devil got us, man. Man got the wagon in front of the horse. We tell all the people all about the manufacturer and all about the messenger. And men don't tell them nothing about the product. We tell them all. We talk all about our Father in heaven, all about Jesus Christ, but we don't talk about, man, the product. What's the product of the boy? All of the kingdom of heaven. Everything that you lost in Adam. Your true identity. Your true source. Your true purpose, your true potential, what you can do. What that, man, that's potential. Not only who we are and where we come from and why we're here, but what can we do? That's the potential that you have on the inside of you. What can we do? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All things that pertains to life and godliness. You can cast out devil. You can open blind eyes. We can unstop deaf ears. We can raise the dead. We can cause the lame to walk. The same thing, the same life, the same way Jesus lived, walked, and talked, and acted, and word on his face of the earth. Man, we can do the same thing. We can be the same way because that's who we are. But if you don't know that, man, we keep living and dying like mere men instead of practicing, man, our sovereignty and dominion and raw power, man, that we have been that God created us to be. That's the potential that we have. The potential, man, to operate, boy, just like God. The potential, man, to allow, boy, God by his spirit, using his word, man, to cause us, boy, to fulfill our God-given purpose and destiny. What's that, boy? To make it in our territory just like it is in his territory. To do what? To make it in our territory. What's that? The earth just like it is in his territory. So that our territory may be a colony of his territory. So our territory might be just like, so it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. That was his will. That was his intent. That was his original intent and plan and purpose. That was the original reason for bringing us to the earth, man, and giving us the earth. The heaven belonged to God, the Bible says, but the earth he gave to man. Everything belonged to God by the reason of creation, but he gave us stewardship over. He made us overseers over. He gave us the ability, man, He gave us the ability, boy, to function on this earth, boy, the way he intended for us to function on the earth. What's that, tomorrow? How he intended for us to function on the earth the same way he functioned in hell? He gave us the potential to live on this earth high, the same way he lived in hell. He gave us the potential on this earth to be the same way he is in hell. That's the potential that we have on the inside. That's the power that we have on the inside. All power. All power. The power of God. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. That's all power. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and set him at the right hand of the Most High God. The same power that opened blind Bartimaeus' eyes. The same power that raised Lazarus from the dead. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power that opened blind eyes and unstopped death ears and caused the lame to walk and cast out devils and moved and reigned while he was up on his earth. That same power, hallelujah, on the inside of you and I. In the person of the Holy Ghost. So you ain't growing in the knowledge of that. You ain't growing in the knowledge of that. You're growing in the knowledge of religion and all about the manufacturer and Jesus Christ who is sin. But you don't know nothing about, boy, what, boy, he ain't just sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came with something. He came with something. He came in with a government on his shoulder. He came with gifts and glory to God. He came with everlasting life. He came with righteousness. He came with holiness. He came with sovereignty and dominion and raw power. He came with restoration ability. He came in with everything that we lost in Adam, man. He came with all of that. He came with God's original plan and purpose and destiny for our life. He came with our original identity and our original source and our original power and potential. He came with all that on his shoulder, man. He didn't just came with all that up on his shoulder. He came with all that up on his shoulder, boy, to restore all of that back to us. Not just to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness, but to restore all that back to us. To restore all that back to us. To restore all that back to us. To restore it back to us. To restore it back to us. To restore all that back to us. I'm going to say it again. I got a little distracted. To restore everything back to us. He didn't just come to redeem our life from destruction, but to restore everything back to us. Everything that we lost in there. Our identity, our source, our purpose, our potential. And listen, and our destination. What's our destination, boy? Let me tell you something. Our destination is not heaven where he is. That's not our final destination. I ain't say you're not going to go there. I say that's not your destination. Your destination, man, is heaven on earth. Your destination is to rule and reign on the earth forever and ever and ever and ever in heaven on earth. That's why he brought you down here in the first place. If he would have wanted us to rule and reign in heaven, man, where he had, he never would have brought us down here to the earth. And if he was up there in heaven, man, you would be limited up there. Only thing you could be up there was a prince or a princess. But God is a king. Only way you can be exactly like him, you got to have your own territory. That's why he created the heaven and the earth. That's why he specified the earth, because the earth is the territory of his children. Heaven belonged to God, the earth he gave to us. The heaven is his domain, the earth is our domain. But what are the boys so that we can reign on the earth? How long are they forever and ever and ever? So the earth might be, in fact, you've been praying that all your life. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First request is not that I need a job and help me with this and heal me with this and bless me with this. No, the first request was, Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will. Many are the plans in our heart. And we got our own kingdom and our own desire and our own everything else. And all of it ain't bad. Some of it good. It ain't many other prayers in our heart, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will prevail. So the first request is, boy, Lord, let your kingdom come. What do you mean, let your kingdom come? Let your governing influence come. Let your governing influence of your territory, your kingdom. Let the governing influence of your kingdom, man, come. Well, to us, all right. And let your will, Not our will, Lord. You know, our will is to get healed. Your will is for us to walk in divine health. Glory to God. Our will is to be millionaire. Your will is for us to be kingionaires, where we own everything. Your will, man, is up. Your will is, our will is, man, your best for our life. Well, your will is your greatest for our life. It's your will that it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. That's why I say pray that way. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. Why? Because when your kingdom come and when your will is being done in our lives here on earth, then, boy, it can be in our lives here on earth just like it is in heaven. When your kingdom come and when your will is being done, when can that be and when his kingdom come? His kingdom already came. When can his will be done? When we yield our will to his will. And since his kingdom come and when we yield our will to his will and find out what his will is and get in on his will for our life, then his will can be done in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we'll learn how to function, man, the way he created us to function. Listen, like we said last week as we ended our broadcast, he created us, man. Listen, boy, everything that God created, he created it to function by laws. God is a God of laws. And when we talk about preaching against sin, we talk about man trying to keep those Ten Commandments. Man, listen, all those things and everything else, man, that's not sin. Those are the results of sin. Having other gods before our God, that's the results of sin. Dishonoring our parents and everything else, that's the results of sin. Lying, stealing, coveting men, our neighbors, man, that's the results of sin. All those laws that God gave Moses and all the Levitical laws, the 600 and however many it is, man, laws, man, that God gave the children of Israel to live, all those are the results of sin. That's what sin produced. What sin of rebel against the known will of God, to rebel against the word of God. Listen, brother, recently, we rebel against the word of God. That's what caused us, man, to lie. That's what caused us to steal. That's what caused us to be born in sin and Satan iniquity. That's what caused us, man, to act and behave the way we do, boy. That's why God gave them laws to Moses to say, hey, listen, man, here's the extent of your failure. Here's what your failure, man, produced. Adultery, having other gods before me, idol gods, lying, stealing, killing, murdering. All those Ten Commandments and all those other commandments, that's a result of your rebelling against my will for your life. What's your will for my life? That it be in your life here on earth as it is in heaven. And when you rebel against that, that's sin. What's the will of God for our life? That we be just like him in his image and his likeness. That we walk like him, talk like him, live like him, think like him, be like him, just like him. Express the image of him, just like Jesus was. To be just like that, one with our Father, just like Jesus was. He said, my Father and I are one. And Jesus prayed a prayer. He said, listen, I pray that y'all might be one, just like me and my Father. And y'all one, me and my Father one, us and you, you and us, and all of us one. Hallelujah. One in character, one in integrity, one in nature, one in likeness, one in image, one, just like him, one. What do you mean, boys? Just like him, talk just like him, act just like him, live just like him. You say we can do that, boy, that's how God created us to be. You tell your man, it's all when we all get to heaven. No, man, Jesus Christ come to bring heaven back to you. It was that way on earth. God, listen, God spoke that and God had that on this earth. That's what the Garden of Eden was. The Garden of Eden was a little carbon copy of heaven, man. The atmosphere and the environment and all that. And in that spot, in that place where Adam and Eve was living at and operating from, it was in hell. It was heaven on earth. Their responsibility was to make the whole earth just like this. That's what their assignment was. That was their purpose for being here, for coming to the earth, to be fruitful and multiply and subdue and the whole earth, to make the whole earth just like the Garden of Eden. So that when their children be born in the Garden of Eden, then when they would take that atmosphere and that environment to their territory on the earth, to their home, And then they, wherever they go, it'd be the Garden of Eden man in that spot on the earth. And then and that the earth man would multiply and everybody went, then man, and they'd take the Garden of Eden man to that spot on the earth in their home, and they lives, and their territory. And the whole earth would be filled, man, with the glory of God. The whole earth would be a Garden of Eden. The whole earth would be an oasis of love. Glory to God. The whole earth. It would be on earth just like it is in heaven. Then God gave them, man, the laws to govern man, his territory, his governing influence, his intent. What were his laws that we talked about? We ended up last week that we didn't get a chance to talk about. His first law was the law of life. I know the Bible say, boy, and I think it's in Romans chapter 8, it say, boy, for the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do through the weakness of the flesh, God sends forth his own son, made in the likeness of sinful man, boy, yet without sin, and condemned sin. But he condemned sin. He declared the sin in our life not suitable for use against us. What he did, well, that's the law of the spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. That's a law. That's the law of the spirit of life. What's the spirit of life? That's what Jesus said. That's what the king said. That's why Jesus said, I only say what I hear my father say. I only do what I see him do. What's the word of life? I told you what the king said. And Jesus Christ come preaching, man, to us, boy, what the king said. And Jesus Christ come preaching to us what the king said originally. The prophets and everybody else and Moses and all of them and Jeremiah and Daniel and all of them, they preached to us what the king said after Adam and Eve got put out of that plot, that spot, after they got put out of the Garden of Eden, out into the wilderness, and then God starts speaking to mankind from that spot, out in the wilderness. That was God's permissive will. That wasn't his perfect will. His perfect will was what God was talking to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, man, in the cooler day, behind the veil. What he was talking to them, man, out in the wilderness, man, that's through the gates of thanksgiving and the courts of praise and in the tabernacle that they built, or the place that Moses built. That wasn't behind the veil. That was his permissive will. So he was speaking through mankind, through the law and the prophets, man, after they got put out of the Garden of Eden. But what he was speaking to mankind through Jesus Christ, or what he was speaking to Adam and Eve before they got put out of the Garden of Eden. That's two different man covenants. That's two different man words. That's two different ways of dealing with mankind. In the first dealing with mankind, Adam and Eve were innocent. After that, man, Adam and Eve were no longer innocent, man, so God couldn't deal with them in that way no more. But when Jesus Christ came, hung, bled, and died, cleansed us up from all unrighteous, man, and man, restored you back to your innocent state so that you could come back into the Garden of Eden. So that you can come back, man, into the ark of safety. So that you can come back into that promised land. So that you can come back into the secret place of the Most High God. So that you can come back into the presence of the Most High God. So that we can come back into the kingdom of God that he had on earth, man, in the Garden of Eden. And start, boy, reestablishing God's original purpose and intent for our life. Boy. Not only, boy, establishing that kingdom back in our heart, but expanding it in the hearts of mankind so that everybody would come to the knowledge, man, of the truth, so that everybody might know the truth. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth. That word truth, that means reality. The reality, man, of what it means to be sons and daughters of the Most High God and living in the reality of them, living in the reality of our sovereignty, our dominion, and our raw power. How often, man? By coming back, man, to the original laws of God. The original laws of God, the spiritual laws of God, what the law of life. What's the law of life, boy? And God said, and God said, and God said. What you mean, man? I'm talking about what God said in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. I'm talking about what God said, man, to Moses and to Jeremiah and to Isaiah and all the prophets and David and all of them. Thank God for that. That was schoolmaster. That was types and shadows. But I'm talking about, boy, what God said, man, not just in the beginning, boy, but from the beginning. His original intent and plan, his original precept, his original word. his original idea for our life, what he spoke in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That's what Jesus Christ come preaching, man. What? Genesis 1 and 2. What? That everything that was going on in Genesis 1 and 2, amen, listen, boy, has been restored back to you. That's the whole purpose for me cleansing you up. That's the whole purpose for Calvary. That's the whole purpose for me dying up on the cross. Why? So that you could become holy again. So that you become righteous again. Not of your own reasoning, not of your own doing, man. It's by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of ourselves. Oh, that's a gift from God because of the love of God. But that first law, boy, you got to get back, man, to man, the law of life. Why? Because the law of life, that's what Jesus Christ come. That's what his message was. That's what the gospel, what he was preaching was, the law of life, the gospel of the kingdom. And that law of life that's in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. That's the law of life. That's the original law. What the king say, go. What the king say, let's make mankind in our image and our likeness. Let them have dominion over the earth. Let me tell you something, ain't nothing else to that. I don't care if man failed, Adam disobeyed, Adam rebelled, whatever, man, I can't answer the word of God. I can't stop man what God said. God gonna have what he said. Even if he had to go through man, whatever he had to go through, man, and the patience and the persistence and the seasons and the periods in mankind that he deal with mankind and different seasons in their lives and in the history of mankind, he had to go through all that, man, he gonna accomplish what he said. And he said, let's make us mankind just like him. So when it's all said and done, baby, that's what it's going to be. In fact, it's already like that. We just becoming that as we come to the knowledge of it. He didn't already completed the work. The Bible says, boy, on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. It's already done. But what the king said. Everything that he had said, man, in Genesis chapter 1, boy, on the seventh day, the Bible says, then he rested from everything he said. That means he's complete. He didn't try to get it done. He's complete. And what happened? It's just becoming, man, boy, what he said. It's just, man, being manifested on the earth. Line upon line, precept upon precept, little by little by little, until, boy, it's fully manifested in the fullness of it. Until then, baby, we just becoming. In the beginning, from the beginning. What do you say? Who chose us from the beginning that we should be holy and without blame, covered in his love. Hallelujah. That's the law of life right there, baby. And that law right there, set you free from the law of sin and death. What you mean sin and death, boy? Let me tell you something, soul that sin and die. But what's the death? That's the spiritual separation. That's when they got separated from God. They still live 900 years, but they died spiritually. They got separated from God. The Holy Spirit left out of their spirit, so they no longer had connection with God, nor heaven, nor all of the attributes and the functioning principles of heaven. Why? Because they were dead from that. They were separated from that. Separated from God and separated from the Holy Spirit. That's the law of sin and death. God told them, don't eat out the tree they ate. Well, they rebel against the known will of God. They rebel against God's original word for their life. That's sin. They transgress God's command. What would God command? Be fruitful and multiply, be in my image, be in my likeness, and don't eat off that tree. So if you eat off that tree, then you're going to stop the process of being in my image and likeness. Stay off the tree and they start the process to separate themselves from God. They became unholy, and then the Holy Spirit can't live in an unholy vessel. So we're separated from God. Now we're living like mere men and mere women. Down through time and generations and ages, man, till that spiritual death caused us, man, not to lose our identity, lose our source, lose our purpose, lose our potential, lose our destination, lose the answer and the reality of those age-old questions of who we are, where we're from, why we're here, what we can do, and where we're going to end up in. But boy, I'm talking about, boy, behind the veil, because of what Jesus Christ has done, man, we've been cleansed up. Now we can come back and get back into the original laws that God gave. What he said, and he's from the king's table. What he said, he said, we holy and without blame. What he said, we holy and without blame. What he said, you can live holy. You can live without blame. Sin don't have to have no dominion over our life, baby. We can walk in holiness and without blame. You mean to tell me we can walk on right before God? Yeah, he said, if you sin. That doesn't mean, man, you don't really have to sin, but if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. But boy, are we growing in our God, and he's from the king table, boy, you can grow to a place where you be in tired, wanting nothing, where you can walk, like I say, right on out of sin into holiness, right on out of darkness into the marvelous light, as you operate according to those laws, what the law of life, where you feasting from the king's table. That's why I say when we go behind the veil, then that, and eat from the king's table and hear what the Lord say, then, man, that's the word of life there. That's, man, that's the word of life. And you can hear what God say about you, and boy, he ain't going to speak nothing but love to you. He ain't going to condemn you. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He ain't come to speak life. He said, can them dry bones live? Can them sinners, man, stop sinning? Can the sick be healed? Can this happen and that happen? He say, yeah. He say, how? How can them dry bones live? Speak life to them. Hallelujah. Instead of speaking, man, to what is, what? They dead, they dry bones, they this, they dead, they ain't this, they sinners, they just living all kind of ways. Yeah, them dead, dry bones, man, every day. Can they live? Yeah. Don't speak, man, what is. Don't speak how dead they are and how no good they are and how disobedient they are and how evil they are. No, speak life to them, glory to God. That's why I come on this radio broadcast and tell you every time, you mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. I don't care what the devil, circumstance, situation, or something might say, I come to tell you what God say about you, that you holy and without blame, that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after that old man, but after the Spirit. What's the Spirit? The Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus, that has set us free from the law of sin and death. Well, that's a law. But that's a law of life, the Word of God. But the other law, boy, is the law of liberty. Like I told you, he gave you free will. You can receive it or you can reject it. He told Adam, you can eat off any tree you want to, man. If you eat off that one, man, then you get the consequence. If you eat off the tree of life, then you're going to live forever. But God tell you, you can eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can keep on living, man, and like you are, man, eating off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What you mean eating off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Living according to the dictates of this natural world system that we live in and allowing it to dictate to us instead of us dictating to him. You can live out to that, man, or you can walk out to the Spirit. What's the Spirit? The Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. It's your own free will. You can live on in the kingdom of darkness, or you can, man, live in the kingdom of God, dear son. You can choose life, or you can choose death. You can choose blessing, or you can choose curse. You can choose to be healed, or you can choose to stay sick. You can choose to be poor, broken, hungry. You can choose to be brokenhearted. You can choose to be down and out, or you can choose, man, just the opposite. You choose. You got the power. You got the authority. You got the dominion. You waiting on God to do something that he gave us the power and the authority to do. And that power and authority to do that we lost in Adam, then restored back to us, man. What God waiting on us to start operating, man, back in those original laws. And if we operating in those original laws, then we will establish the laws of Moses, boy. And not only because they already established in our hearts, but we establish it in our lives, too. Why? When we get back, man, to living according to the original law. What? The law of life. The law of liberty, and choose life instead of death. Choose the blessing instead of curse. And then that law of man lives, know that, boy, that you are free from the law of sin and death. Why? Because of a royal law. The law of love. This is y'all, my time is about us. But this law of love that's in the kingdom, I'm talking about the love that God loves us with. That one love that I always use, man, and save, man, the blood I got from my son, man, a long time ago, boy, that revolutionized my life. Well, that's one love, unconditional love. I'm talking about, boy, unconditional. Unconditional love. Ain't no, you ain't got to do nothing to get this. This is the agape love of God. Unconditional love. Hallelujah. Walking that, boy, the love that God loved us with. That's the love that we are covered with. Covered in his love. That's unconditional love. That's why you're saved and healed and delivered and blessed. Why? Because God loved us. And everything that God does for us is because he loved us. God so loved the world. God loved his son, Jesus Christ. That's why he created us, because he wanted many more just like him, man, before he became a man. That's the law of love. The law of faith. How you live this kind of life, bro? By faith. Hallelujah. And we're going to continue in these laws starting next week. Again, my time is up. My wife, Gail, and I, we love you. Our master, Kingdom Life Fellowship, World Outreach Ministry. We love you with the love of the Lord. And we pray and believe for God's best and God's greatest for your life. And that it'll be in your life here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Listen, if we can help you and encourage you, and you would like any of our copies of our radio broadcast, you can get it free of no charge. All you got to do is call us at 713-870-3776. That's, again, the area code, Kingdom Life Fellowship, World Outreach Ministry, 713-870-3776. Again, my wife and family, we love y'all with the love of the Lord and believe it for God's greatest for your life. And we love you. We'll talk to you again next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.